Welcome to the Deep Dive, your essential shortcut to gaining real knowledge quickly.
Hey everyone. So today we're really diving into the engine room of modern enterprise retail. We actually had a request from a listener.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, someone looking to understand how these massive companies, the ones handling complex B2B sales or running huge multi-vendor marketplaces, how they manage their commerce ops without just using simple off-the-shelf software.
Right. We're definitely moving way beyond the basic online shopping cart here. Our mission today is, well, it's to demystify one of the biggest shifts in digital commerce, this whole idea of headless architecture. And we're going to use a framework called Vendor as our guide. We'll explain why this kind of customizable open source solution is becoming, well, pretty essential for businesses with really complex, unique needs, especially trying to make it clear for beginners.
Exactly. We've been digging through the key info, pulling insights straight from the vendor GitHub repository, their docs, and their kind of core marketing philosophy. It really spells out why they're built for scale and flexibility.
Okay, but before we unlock the power of headless commerce, let's quickly thank the supporter of this deep dive. This segment is brought to you by SafeServer.
Great partner.
Yeah, SafeServer takes care of the specialized hosting you need for advanced software like Vendor, and they support you on your whole digital transformation journey. You can find out more and get started at www.safeserver.de.
Awesome. Thanks, SafeServer. Right then, let's focus on Vendor. It calls itself a customizable commerce platform built for scale.
Okay, so let's start at ground zero for our learner, like you said. When most folks think about selling online, they probably picture one single platform doing everything right: the storefront, inventory, payments.
Yeah, all in one.
So what exactly is headless commerce?
Right.
And maybe more importantly, why would a major company pick a specialized open source thing like Vendor over, say, a big standard SaaS platform?
Yeah, that's the key question. See, the core problem with those traditional all-in-one systems is they can be really rigid. Everything's tightly coupled,
Tightly coupled.
meaning the front end, the website the customer sees, is stuck together with the back end, the inventory, the pricing logic, all that stuff.
Yeah.
If you want a new mobile app or maybe some fancy voice interface,
Yeah.
you just have to hope your big platform supports it easily. Often, it doesn't.
Ah, okay.
Headless commerce completely decouples those parts. Think of it like a body and a head. They're separated, but they're connected by, let's say, a central nervous system.
And that nervous system, that's the API, the application programming interface.
Precisely. Vendor is the body in this analogy. It's that robust back end built with TypeScript and Node.js. This is the brain, the logic center. Inventory, pricing rules, order, security, everything.
Okay.
The head is the front end, the part the customer actually interacts with. And that could be anything, a website, sure, but also a mobile app, a VR experience, maybe even a smart kiosk in a store.
So the vendor core doesn't really care how you're shopping, whether it's your phone or some smart fridge screen. It just does the commerce part.
Exactly that. And that separation is absolutely key to doing real multi-channel commerce effectively. You use the same single back end, that vendor core, to power every single customer touch point you can dream up. And for big companies, that consistency and scale is critical.
Got it. So the sources define Vendor as an open source headless commerce platform, an enterprise ready framework. Let's talk tech for a second. Why TypeScript and Node.js? What's the benefit there?
Well, it's really a choice geared towards stability and speed, TypeScript. It adds static typing to JavaScript. For non-devs, that just means the code is more robust, less prone to certain kinds of errors. Developers can build faster and with more confidence.
Fewer bugs, basically.
Fewer bugs, yeah. And Node.js, it's built for handling lots of connections at once. High concurrency means the platform is designed for speed and can handle massive traffic spikes without, falling over.
Which is important for enterprise scale. And what does the core platform actually give you right out of the box?
It provides two main pillars, really. First, there's the commerce framework. They describe it as lean, unopinionated foundational blocks. It's built on another powerful framework called Nest.js. Yeah,
Nest.js.
think of Nest.js as like a really solid, well-understood architectural blueprint for building complex
Yeah.
applications. It helps ensure the whole system is structured logically, like a big, organized Lego kit. Scalable, defendable.
Okay, Lego kit, I like that. And the second pillar, that sounds like it's more for the business users, the ones not writing code.
Exactly, that's the operational side. A highly customizable admin dashboard. This is the interface for the day-to-day stuff, managing orders, products, customers, pricing.
Yeah.
It's built with modern tools like React and Tailwind, so it feels Well, modern.
Yeah.
Not like some clunky system from 10 years ago.
Right. And something that really jumped out, especially thinking about developers, is the speed they claim you can get started. The Sources Vost vendor can be up and running locally in less than 2 minutes. Just one command.
Yeah.
That seems fast.
Yeah.
That immediate feedback must be a huge draw.
Oh, it absolutely is. That rapid setup just lowers the barrier to entry massively. Teams can kick the tires, test it out almost immediately, see if it fits.
Okay, but let's pivot to the really critical question, the trade-off. Why would a huge company choose to build their commerce system on an open source framework? I mean, that means taking on more of the engineering load themselves, right? Why not just pay a subscription to a big, convenient SaaS platform?
That is the core conflict, isn't it? It's control versus convenience. SaaS definitely offers simplicity up front, but you are fundamentally constrained by their platform, their features, their roadmap.
You're locked in.
They're locked in. Vendor is explicitly built, as they say, for when standard SaaS platforms can't accommodate your unique business model. If your business needs something special and you have to create three clunky, painful workarounds just to launch your new product line on a SaaS platform, well, it's not convenient anymore, is it? It's actually holding you back, costing you time and money.
Okay, so if my business has really complex needs, maybe I offer a unique service alongside physical products, or I have intricate loyalty tiers or weird shipping rules. I need a system that bends to my needs, not the other way around.
Precisely. And that deep customization is primarily handled through vendors' extensible plugin architecture. This is the key. This is where you build that, say, 10% of unique functionality that really differentiates your business.
Right.
You can tailor pretty much every single aspect of the commerce solution using these dynamic plugins. And they become reusable modules, too. So you're not hacking the core system. You're extending it properly in a structured, maintainable way.
That makes a lot of sense. What about those big enterprise-level features? Does it handle things like global operations out of the box?
Yes. Internationalization is built right in from the start.
Mm-hmm.
It's designed for seamless global operations. It supports multi-currency transactions, cross-border omnichannel commerce, complex tax rules, all without needing massive re-engineering later on.
Okay, and critically important for big companies, security and ownership. We keep hearing vendor is 100% independent OSS open source software. What does that actually mean for a company putting its business on this platform?
It means they achieve full ownership of the platform. That's a really powerful argument, especially for large, maybe more risk-averse organizations. They avoid being tied to the whims, the roadmap changes, the sudden pricing hikes of a closed proprietary SaaS provider. They control their own destiny, technologically speaking.
Doesn't open source sometimes come with worries about support, maintenance, guarantees? If something breaks, who fixes it?
That's a fair point, and that's where the licensing model comes in. The core platform is licensed under the GPL v3. Now, for the listener, this basically ensures the core code stays free and open. The community can review it, improve it, use it. But for those large enterprises that need, you know, legal assurances, dedicated support channels, guaranteed response times, they offer a commercial license too, the VCO. This lets companies manage their risk effectively while still getting all the flexibility and ownership benefits of the open source core.
So you get the ownership and the flexibility, but you can buy a safety net if you need it.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's shift gears now to the practical side.
Mm-hmm.
Where is all this power actually being used? When we talk about complex commerce, what's specific real-world business models are we seeing vendor enable?
Yeah, vendor really seems to shine in, I'd say, three main areas where those traditional, simpler commerce solutions tend to struggle or just break down completely.
Okay, area one.
First up, B2B e-commerce, business to business.
Right. Give us a simple example of why a standard online store platform often fails here.
Well, B2B is just fundamentally more complex than selling directly to consumers, right? Think about a distributor network. Maybe customer A gets a special 15% discount, but only on bulk orders over $10,000.
Meanwhile, customer B needs all their orders over $5,000 to be approved by two different managers in their company before the order is even processed. A typical D2C platform just can't handle that kind of granular logic, either.
Yeah.
So vendor allows companies to take these really complex workflows, things involving custom pricing tiers per customer, multi-step approval chains, deep account hierarchies where one person manages multiple subaccounts, and turn them into smooth, reliable digital experiences. It adapts to those specific industry needs.
That level of custom roles.
Oh.
Yeah, definitely beyond the usual Shopify store. Okay, what about marketplaces? That sounds complex too.
That's the second major area. multi-vendor or multi-tenant commerce. Think building your own Etsy or maybe a specialized B2B marketplace or even an Amazon competitor if you're ambitious.
Building that requires really sophisticated tools. You need to manage potentially hundreds or thousands of separate sellers, each maybe with their own separate inventories. You need to give them customizable storefronts so they can maintain their brand identity. They need their own individual seller dashboards to manage their products and orders.
Wow, yeah.
And all the while, the central platform operator you needs to handle the commissions, the payout schedules, the overall permissions, taxes. It's a huge architectural challenge, and Vendor provides the framework to manage that complexity without building everything from scratch.
Okay, B2B, marketplaces, what's the third area? Custom D2C.
Exactly, custom D2C models. This is really about breaking free from what they call cookie cutter commerce. It's for brands whose business model is their unique selling proposition.
Give me an example.
Okay, think of a company selling highly personalized, maybe made-to-order furniture. They might have a dynamic 3D configurator on their website where you choose the wood, the fabric, the size.
Uh-huh.
And that configuration needs to link directly to complex supply chain logic, maybe even trigger specific manufacturing processes. Or think about a subscription box service with 5 different tiers, complex bundling rules, variable shipping schedules, and maybe add-on purchases.
Things that require unique logic.
Unique logic, exactly. Mm. If your brand's vision relies on that kind of custom experience, maybe blending digital and physical touch points in a novel way, Vendor gives you the underlying toolkit to actually write and execute that unique business logic.
Okay, so for those kinds of complex niche applications, the flexibility is definitely worth the extra engineering effort compared to SaaS.
Let's talk about that engineering effort for a sec. The developer experience, or DX.
Yeah.
What does the tech stack offer developers to make building and, crucially, maintaining these complex systems easier?
Yeah, they seem to focus heavily on tools that boost developer productivity and, importantly, maintainability. We already mentioned TypeScript and Nest.js, which provide that structure and safety net.
And crucially, a really big one, is that they expose pretty much all their functions and data via GraphQL.
Okay, GraphQL. For the beginner listening, what does GraphQL actually do for the business? Why is that better than older ways?
Okay, think of it like a really efficient, very specific waiter. In older systems, using something called REST APIs, often when your app asks for data, the server might send back a whole bunch of information, maybe way more than you actually need for that specific screen, like getting the entire menu when you just asked for the price of coffee.
Wasted data.
Exactly. Wasted data. Wasted bandwidth. GraphQL lets the developer writing the front-end app request exactly the specific pieces of data they need for that particular view and absolutely no more. Just give me the product name, price, and inventory count for this specific ID.
Oh, okay.
This dramatically reduces the amount of data flying back and forth, which makes the website or app feel much faster, much more responsive, especially on mobile networks. It's way more efficient.
And those saved milliseconds, as we know, can translate into millions in revenue for big e-commerce sites.
Absolutely. Mm. Performance is key. They also focus a lot on automation tools for developers.
Mm-hmm.
They provide a CLI, that's a command line interface, basically text commands, and an automation SDK, a software development kit.
Okay, that sounds like pure tech jargon again. Can you translate the business benefit of a CLI and an automation SDK?
Sure. Think of it like this. These are tools that automate the boring, repetitive, error-prone parts of coding, testing, and deploying the software.
Okay.
So it helps streamline the workflow. When a developer makes a change, say they add a new discount rule, these tools help ensure that change gets automatically tested in various ways and then deployed reliably across the entire system, maybe to multiple servers. It saves tons of developer time, reduces the chance of human error during deployment, and helps keep the whole complex infrastructure running smoothly and consistently. It's about efficiency and reliability.
Got it. Less manual work, fewer mistakes. Okay, and finally, the lifeblood of any open source project like this, the community. What do the sources tell us about the health and activity of the vendor ecosystem? Is it alive and well?
Yeah, the stats look pretty solid, actually. It's a good sign of project health. On GitHub, which is where the code lives, it has 6.6 thousand stars and 1.2 thousand forks. That indicates quite a bit of active interest in usage.
Stars and forks. Basically, measures of popularity and people tinkering with it.
Pretty much, yeah. Popularity and engagement. But maybe more importantly, it has a large contributor base, 239 contributors listed.
Wow, 239 people have actually submitted code or improvements. That's significant. That means a huge amount of peer review and development happening outside of just the core founding team.
Correct. That diversity of contribution is really healthy for an open source project. The sources also mention an active community of over 3,000 developers globally interacting in places like Slack or Discord, and there are testimonials highlighting the, quote, astonishing level of involvement from the core vendor team themselves in those community channels, providing apparently fast and helpful support. For an enterprise that's going to rely on this platform as a core piece of infrastructure for years, having that active, supportive ecosystem is basically a non-negotiable requirement. It provides confidence.
Absolutely. Okay, let's try to wrap this deep dive up. Thinking back to our learner, the person just trying to get their head around this complex commerce landscape, what's the key takeaway here? What does vendor really represent?
I think vendor represents the modern necessity for businesses whose models just don't fit in the standard box. Mm. It's the flexible, powerful backend, the body for commerce systems that have fundamentally outgrown the limitations of those easier but more rigid standardized SaaS platforms.
Right.
It provides that essential separation. The headless architecture we talked about, allowing you to build any front end you want. And it gives you the enterprise-grade tools and the extensibility needed to manage truly complex business logic, whether that's B2B, marketplaces, or unique D2C offerings.
So it frees businesses from the constraints of someone else's pre-built roadmap.
Exactly. By offering true code ownership and massive extensibility, it's the ultimate customization toolkit, really, but specifically designed for commerce complexity.
Makes sense. The ultimate customization toolkit for commerce complexity. I like that.
And before we sign off, just a final reminder that this deep dive was supported by SafeServer. They're your partner for the specialized hosting and digital transformation solutions that help you actually leverage the power of platforms like Vendor. You can learn more at www.safeserver.de.
Thanks again, SafeServer. Okay, finally, as always, a provocative thought for you, the listener, to consider. As the demand for these hyper-customized online experiences keeps growing, needing complex B2B pricing, unique subscription models, multi-vendor logic will this shift towards flexible, developer-centric, headless frameworks like Vendor actually become the new default? Could they eventually leave the traditional monolithic e-commerce platforms behind, kind of like relics gathering dust in the face of accelerating digital complexity?
Hmm. Definitely something worth mulling over. Where does the balance between convenience and control ultimately land? Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.
We'll catch you on the next one.